I'm going to switch over to the pulpit. This thing's popping a lot up here. I don't know what's going on with it. James chapter number one this morning. James chapter number one. Appreciate everyone being here. Good to see all those kids here. Amen. Anyone watch the game last night? Can I hear some Roll Tides? Praise the Lord. I didn't hear no Go Tigers. Praise the Lord. We ain't got none of that. Anybody got time for that? James chapter number one this morning. I told the men at breakfast yesterday I was anticipating a 21-point win, and they looked at me like I was crazy. Well, I was, I guess, because they only won by 14. But needless to say, that's not that important. I'm glad they did win, though. But I'm glad we're here this morning. Please pray that through the day that the Lord will protect my voice. I had a sinus issue going on for a few days. I'm not sick, just sinuses are messed up. That weather gets to me about once a year. So just pray that my voice will hold out. James chapter number 1, verse number 8. We prayed already. Let's get right into it. The Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in what, church? All his ways. We've been talking about why should we live separated lives and biblical separation unto God. Well, today I want to continue in that study for probably this week and the next 2 weeks, and we'll probably finish this up. But today, why should we live separated lives? I hope many of you that have been here over the past few weeks have learned the importance, and not just learned the importance, but the Bible teaches us to be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So I hope many of you are putting this thing to practice and understanding the importance of living a biblically separated life. Folks, we are not called to be like everybody else. We're called to be different. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And because of that, there should be some difference in our lives versus what goes on out there. If you're fitting in out there, folks, you're not doing right. There's something wrong. And you ought to be trying to live a biblically separated life. We ended last week with saying there's no way we're going to be sinless and perfect, but the longer you're saved, you should sin less and less. Amen. You should be convicted of that sin. You should have the Holy, you do have the Holy Spirit living within you if you are born again and saved, blood bought. You are separated unto God, and He does convict you even before the sin actually occurs. You get that thought and you're thinking, wow, I probably shouldn't do that. You ever wonder where that thought comes from? That thought of I shouldn't do this doesn't come from the devil. That's the Holy Spirit living within us, doing His job, leading us and guiding us into what, church? All truth. We've got to learn to practice to be biblically separated. But today, why should we live a biblically separated life? We just read in James 1:8, a double-minded man is what, church? Unstable in all his ways. You notice the writer did not say a double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways. There's no such thing as you being a stable man, woman, boy, or girl and living a double standard for your life. Being a Christian on Sunday and a wicked, vile sinner out in the world, living like the world on Monday is making you an unstable person. Folks, listen, this is a 7-day-a-week, a 24-hour event that we must strive to be more like Jesus. Amen? It's important that we take what we've been given and we give it to somebody else. And how are we supposed to spread the good news about Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world if we're living like a lost and dying world proclaiming our victory? It doesn't work like that, folks. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So what does that mean? That means if I'm a double-minded man, my home is going to be unstable. My marriage is going to be unstable. My ability to father my children is going to be unstable. My Sunday school class is going to be unstable if I'm teaching it. My ministries that I'm involved in is going to be unstable. My work environment is going to be unstable. Everything I put my hands to is going to be unstable if I'm trying to live a double-minded life. Amen? So why should we live separate? Well, because we cannot live in two worlds. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We have a tendency of neglecting God's purpose and design for us. and we end up glorifying all the wrong things. You remember David in the book of Psalms, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a what, church? A right spirit within me. Why did David wake up and pray that prayer? You know, Paul even said, he's one of the greatest evangelists, preachers, ministers, apostles, disciples, whatever you want to call him. He's one of the greatest that ever lived, and probably the greatest that will ever live. Paul himself said, I die daily. You know, paraphrasing, he said over there, those things that I don't do, those things that I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing when I'm living in the flesh, right? So Paul had to every single day die to himself and his needs and his personal wants, and he had to submit himself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But it starts with submission to your God. But we have a tendency of neglecting God's purpose and design for us all. And we end up glorifying all the wrong things. You say, what are you talking about? Well, here's just a few examples. And I mean, you could put your own things in there. You know, some things that we might do is give our money to the wrong kind of entertainment. We might glorify movie stars and filthy musicians and authors. You think about the amount of money that is spent in our country every single year on movies alone. Imagine if $1.4 billion that was just given on the opening night of the latest Avengers movie, okay, $1.4 billion in theaters in one night. Imagine if $1.4 billion was given through the local church to missions. Imagine that. Folks, listen, did those people have that money available to give? They absolutely did. But did they give it to carnal things? Now, I'm not saying don't go to the movies. I go to the movies. Okay, but what I'm saying is you can constantly, if you look around you, there's things that, and I'm guilty of this, you're guilty, I'm sure, there's things that I spend money on sometimes and I'm like, well, I probably really didn't need that. Anybody ever done that? You really want it until you get it, and then you're like, man, I could have used that money for something a whole lot better than that. But what about music? Imagine how much money goes through the music industry in just our country alone. Can you imagine the billions of dollars? How many more missionaries could America send out? Folks, China is sending more missionaries into our country, Bible-believing missionaries into America, than America is sending out of here. There's a problem. We need to be getting our thoughts right, and we need to understand what God's purpose and design for us really is. Worshiping money or possessions. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Let's go there. Galatians 1, 4. Again, please forgive my voice this morning. The Bible says, who gave himself for our sins. Obviously, this is talking of Jesus. That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. God has delivered us from this world. If you're saved in here, say amen. Can I say that you have been delivered from this world if you are saved? You have a holy God that has sent his only begotten Son Jesus to be a propitiation for your sins. He has literally taken on hell in your place and went there, died, was buried, and thank God we serve a living Savior. Amen. We don't serve a dead Savior. Amen. Thank God we don't serve a dead Savior. Thank God that you have the ability to be different. God has delivered us from this world. This world, can I say this, is not worthy of your love. And what I'm saying is, I'm not talking about don't love the people in this world. What I'm saying is you don't need to love the carnal and the carnality of this world. There's a lot of things out there that I love doing that I probably shouldn't. And I mean, am I alone? No. And they might not necessarily be bad things, but here's where it becomes a problem. When it takes preeminence over my love for God and his purpose for my life, folks, it becomes a sin. God has to be first place in everything. And if he's second place in something, you're in sin in that area of your life. This world is not worthy of your love. Your love belongs to God. We are objects of God's great love. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We are objects of God's great love. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in what, church? Mercy." Aren't you glad God is a merciful God to your family? You know, I think back over the years and just where I've came from. You know, anytime you ever find yourself in a position where you don't have something to be thankful for, just stop for a little while and think about where you came from. Think about your family heritage and how it didn't used to be so great. You know, the bloodline in my family, I'll be honest, back to my, even just to my grandmother, they were all Catholics before that. They weren't born again. My grandmother was a Catholic until she married my grandpa and she got saved. She got born again. He was a Southern Baptist. And because of that, you know, she got to hear the real gospel. Can I, listen, folks, I'm not making fun of Catholics here. But I'm telling you right now, that's false doctrine. There's something wrong with that. If it's not Bible doctrine, it's wrong. Okay, and look, and I don't think your title gets you to heaven. Catholic, Baptist, I don't care what you call yourself. The blood is going to get you to heaven. In the end, there's going to be a lot of people up there that we didn't think were going to be there. And here's the scarier thought. There's going to be a lot of people absent that we thought were going to be there. Because they thought their title, their name, their work was going to get them there. Folks, it's got to be through the blood. But anytime you find yourself finding something to be thankful for, I often sit, especially when I'm alone, I love to listen to good music. I love to put good songs, good hymns in my ears, and sometimes I find myself just crying when I think about where the Lord has brought me from. I look back and I think I'm one generation away from being an adulterous drunk. Just one. That's what my daddy is. Folks, look, God's been good to me. He saved me from a lot of turmoil. He saved me from a lot of strife. My wife is just a third generation Christian, is that right? Her grandpa on one side went to Vietnam at age 18, went to jail his first time at age 13, came out of Vietnam, dedicated to be a mercenary, got saved and became a missionary and is preaching the gospel today across America. Her other grandpa at age 29, before that, used to beat his wife, beat his children, was a drunk. He'd come by and people would walk as far around him as they could. But at age 29, the Lord saved him and he became a missionary in Alaska. And her daddy's pastoring the church that her grandpa started years ago today. Folks, do you see how good God's been? And look, you have something to be thankful for. I have something to be thankful for. Don't ever let the devil lie to you about that. I'm so glad he's rich in mercy, verse 4, Ephesians chapter 2. For his great love wherewith he loved us. Can I just get an amen that God loves us? Amen. He does. Even when we were dead in what, church? Sins hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Folks, look at your position in Christ. He's made us to sit together. You know what that means? He's welcoming us as part of his family. Isn't that a good thing? That we are seated together in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of whose grace? Whose is it? His grace, not ours, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Folks, how many of you deserved his grace and kindness? Not a single one of us. If we just took what we've done just this week, I often like to use this analogy because it kind of brings out a picture, but it's not really a picture. But imagine if we were to go around the room and our name were plastered up there. And every thought and every bad thing we've done this week, everybody in here could see it. Every word we said, every text message we sent, every thought we had about our husbands, about our wives, about our children, everything. Everything we said at work. No, look, how many would want that? I don't. Absolutely not. But here's the thing. Jesus said, in that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He still chose, in your wickedest, vilest state, to disperse mercy, love, and kindness towards you. Folks, don't you think that's worth living a biblically separated life for? I know I do, and I wish I could do a better job of it. Our response we should have toward God is to praise him, adore him, magnify him, and fellowship with him at all times. Look at Psalms 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse number 1. And then find Psalm 62 while you're looking for that. Psalm 34 and verse 1. Remember, I said our response to God should be to praise Him, adore Him, magnify Him, lift Him up, and fellowship with Him at all times. Look at this, Psalm 34, 1. I will bless the Lord at what, church? All times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You think about who the author of this psalm is. It's David. Listen, I don't know about you, but David lived a pretty rough life, did he not? He got into some pretty bad sin. And look, his sin took him a whole lot further than he ever wanted to go. It kept him a whole lot longer than he ever wanted to stay. And it made him pay a whole lot more than he ever wanted to pay. Folks, that is what sin will do for you. But through it all, look what David said. I will bless the Lord when? At all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You want to learn how to live a biblically separated life and have no problem with it? Wake up in the morning praising the Lord. Wake up in the morning giving thanks. Wake up in the morning with the Lord's name in your mouth, and you will have no problem living a biblically separated life. Look at Psalm 62, verse 8. Psalm 62, verse 8. I like this right here. Trust in Him when, church? Wow. You people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. You know, over in the New Testament, He said, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, it's good and comforting whenever we're in time of need. Sometimes we don't do that, do we? We start thinking, well, what am I going to do? What if our first response was just, oh God, You saw this problem long before it ever came to me, and I don't want to experience this trial without You. And you know what that comforter would do? He'd let you know real quick, you're not alone. You're absolutely not alone. I'm here with you. I said I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll not leave you comfortless. Folks, that's the holy God that we serve. He's a real good God. We ought to praise Him at all times. The Bible teaches us that God is a jealous God, and He is jealous of whatever takes away from Him. God's jealousy for us is the basis for being separated from sin unto Him. God wants every believer to be separate from everything that would draw our allegiance. Let's put it on a personal level. How many have kids in here? How many have someone that you love in here? Just raise your hand. Let's just get everybody involved. Okay. Let's just talk about your kids, or you put your husband, your wife, whoever you want to put in that place. Just think about one person that you love the most, and you think, and ask this question. Do you want that person's allegiance? Do you want their attention in your life? Do you want them to show you love back? How would you feel if that individual, whether it be your husband, wife, mom, dad, children, whoever it might be that you're thinking about, how would you feel if they were constantly showing love and affection to someone else other than you? How would you feel? Folks, you'd be a jealous individual. The Bible says God is a jealous God. How do you think God feels when we pour out our love to the world? And I'm not talking about in a good way. I'm talking about partaking of the things that the world partake of. Doing things that they're doing to gain what? You know, fame, fortune? We don't need any of that stuff. What we need is to make sure that we do not make God jealous. Because I don't know about you. There's a whole lot of stories in the Old Testament you can read when God's jealous over His people. Folks, listen. He don't let their sin go unpunished. You ever read your Old Testament before? The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Folks, God is a jealous God. You start giving your time, money, possessions, loved out there, listen, God's going to, let me tell you this. I heard a preacher say it like this one time. God will take away your excuses. He has the ability. Folks, the Bible teaches that He holds the keys to death and hell. And look, you start using individuals as reasons why you can't do ministry, why you can't serve God. Oh, I can't serve God because this is going on, because that. Do you realize that in a moment, God could take that excuse away from you? It bothers me whenever, and please don't, I'm not talking about any individual, I'm just talking about in general. It bothers me when people use their children as an excuse that they cannot come to church on Sunday mornings, that they can't do this ministry, that they can't do that ministry. We just don't have time. The kids didn't get out of bed. Well, look at here. Who's in charge of your home? Folks, start using your children as an excuse and see what God will do with your children. He can pluck them excuses right out of your hand. Amen? It's time that daddies stand up and be daddies and be Joshua's and say, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, Joshua's wife did not say that, folks. Is everybody okay right now? I'm not trying to offend nobody. I'm just preaching the Bible here. Joshua's wife was not the head of that home. Joshua was the head of that home. He did not go to Mrs. Joshua and say, honey, now I'm about to go make this speech. Are you okay with that? Everybody okay? He said, as for me, he spoke for his wife as well, and his children, by the way. Daddy, you're responsible. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what our churches need? We need some men to be men. We need men to get back in their place. Amen. That's what we need. And let me tell you something, men. You get in your biblically designed place that God wants you to be. I'm not talking about ruling with an iron. I'm talking about love your wife as Christ loved the church. Hey, she'll have no problem submitting to you. Hello? That's the way God designed her. That's biblical. Rule and lead by example. Love the Lord. Love her as Christ loved the church. How much did Christ love the church? Well, he died for it. You love your wife that much? It's easy to say we do. But yet the pettiest things will spark up an argument in our homes. Guilty. I think we're all guilty. Folks, listen, it's time that we stand up and realize we are different than the world. We are separated unto Christ Jesus. We need some Joshuas. We need to stop giving the world and the fame our allegiance. We've got to get back to trusting in who God is. If God does not have all of us, can I say this, folks? He's jealous by what takes us away from him. Biblical separation is separating ourselves from that which we have allowed to take away from God and simply returning to him. Look at the book of Exodus chapter 34. I love the Old Testament. It's some of my favorite readings out there. I love the books of Moses. Exodus 34. And I really like it when you can read a story in the Bible. If you're like me, oftentimes you read and you find yourself like, well, what in the world did God say that for, you know? Well, number one, we know God's not the author of confusion, but I really like the stories where God says, you shouldn't do this because if you do, this is going to happen. He points it out plain and clear to these people. And folks, these people are crazy. Over and over and over again, they just keep running from the Lord. And God keeps bringing them down, and God keeps picking them back up, and God keeps bringing them down, and God keeps picking them back up. But look what he says, Exodus 34, verse number 10. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself. Listen, church, here it is. Here's the warning. Take heed. You know what that means? Listen up. Pay attention. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whether thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. There's warning number one. Don't make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land that you're about to overtake. Why? Because it's a trap. It's a snare. It looks good, but it's not good. That's basic Bible right there. Look at verse 13. But ye shall destroy their what, church? Break their images and cut down their groves. Here's rule number two. He said, look, go in there, destroy everything about their worship.
because nothing that they're worshiping is good. Nothing that they're worshiping involves me. So God said, destroy their altars, break their images, get rid of, cut down their groves. Anything that they're worshiping before me, get rid of it. Verse 14, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a what, church? Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. Look at this. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten images. He went so specific as to say, look, those women in that country, those men in that country, they're going to be very appealing to the eye. They're going to look good. They're going to be rich in riches, but not rich in mercy, not rich in love, wherewith he loved us. Look, they're going to look good. Your daughters are going to love those men. Your men are going to love those daughters. But don't let your boys and your girls link up with them. Why? Because you'll soon be worshiping their gods. Folks, the Bible teaches us that we are to be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. What does that mean? Well, it's pretty simple, isn't it? When we yoke up together, and that's not just a marriage thing, by the way. When you yoke up with people in this world that are unbelievers, folks, listen. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Hello? You find yourself wanting to always hang around wicked, vile people, you're soon going to be acting like wicked, vile people, is what the Bible says. The Bible says evil communication, what does it do? Corrupts good manners. Right? Evil communication corrupts good manner. Learn to take heed to God's specific instructions. God demands our separation from the wicked places, the practices, and people. He knows these things will cause us to limit him in our lives. And in closing, because God is a pure and holy and righteous God, we cannot live long if we continue living in sin. Look at Romans 6:23 and we'll be done. Romans 6 and verse 23. It's one of my favorite verses. Again, it brings me back and makes me think about my past and where I could be. Folks, I'm so thankful I'm not where the devil wants me to be. And you ought to be thankful. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what, church? So why did Jesus have to die? Because of what? Sin, right? But, here it is. The gift of God is what, church? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Separation is not an option. You know what we need to start looking at it like? In other words, let's stop thinking that separation unto God is an option, and let's look at it as a survival act. You know, if we're going to live long, prosperous, Christian lives, good lives, folks, we might as well separate ourselves unto the one who's redeemed us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for your people that are here. Lord, bless the ones who are coming in now, the ones that are traveling here. Be with us in our next hour. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.